But right now, Dr. Scott Bahn is in our studio, a criminologist. He has a one-man show called Why We Love Serial Killers. He'll be talking at the City Winery on Thursday on Randolph Street here in Chicago, which is a real nice venue for music. I hadn't thought about it as a sort of public speaking presentation. Doctor, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much, John. It's great to be here.
Have you checked out the venue, City Winery?
I did. It looks like a lovely venue.
Yeah, right. And is your show like a TED Talk then, where you get up and have a PowerPoint?
No, not really. It is a speaking engagement, but I like to call it a live interactive experience because I have it filled up with video and segments and talking points from serial killers themselves that I've interviewed. And the second half of the show, or the second act, is really a live dynamic Q&A experience where people have an opportunity to ask me anything they ever wanted to know about serial killers. And this is when the show really comes alive and we have a lot of fun with it.
What's your doctorate in?
My doctorate is in criminology. I'm a doctor of criminology. And I take a very sociological approach to this topic, which is a little bit different than either the psychological or the police procedural approach, because I look at these things in context and I look at why the likes of Jeffrey Dahmer or a Ted Bundy have become almost like iconic characters in our popular culture. And I look at this in a very sociological, contextual way, which is a little bit different than most people.
So you are interested in why these people do it, but you're sounds like just as interested in why we are so interested in these people.
Absolutely. And that's what I like to do in both my book as well as in my shows, is turn that mirror around and say, what is it about the dark side? What is it about these extreme individuals that we're drawn to, almost like moths to the flame in a certain way?
Well, just talk to me about the first thing, though. That is there any thread to why the serial killers kill?
Absolutely. And I want to debunk a myth right away, that is that all serial killers are young, dysfunctional white males who prey upon women for sex. That's the media stereotype, but it's absolutely not true. Serial killers come in every variety, shape, form, sexual orientation, gender that you can think of, but the one common denominator is that killing serves some underlying deep psychological need based in fantasy that develops over a period of sometimes 10 to 15 years and becomes an itch that must be scratched, and only killing will do. It's a craving, almost like a visceral craving that they have.
Do you think that they could have been cured of that, or at least have been kept from acting on that if somebody had gotten to them beforehand?
Sometimes there are indications. You know, certainly some of these individuals, but certainly not all, harmed animals. In the case of Jeffrey Dahmer, he actually brought roadkill home that he would become sexually aroused by putting his hands inside the body cavity of these things. That's certainly not normal if you have a kid who does that. Some of them, David Berkowitz, who I interviewed extensively, the son of Sam. He was an arsonist. He was a pyromaniac and became sexually aroused there at a very early age. So there are certain indicators. But what seems to happen, first of all, these individuals, about 75% of them are stone-cold psychopaths, which means that they are simply disconnected emotionally and empathetically from other living things. I like to use the analogy of a hairdryer. If you pull the cord out of the wall, it doesn't work. Well, these individuals, their empathy cord to other human beings simply pulled out of the wall. They can't feel it. But that alone doesn't make them a serial killer. Something gets triggered right around the age of adolescence where somehow the killing, torture, dismemberment, blood becomes intertwined with sexual arousal. And that's what plants the seed. But even that seed takes years to germinate, and it lives in their fantasy life before they ultimately kill. And could it be curtailed? Yes, it absolutely could through intervention. But many of these individuals, it's so benign and so beneath the surface that it's just not recognized. No one detects it.
Not to blame the parents, but I'm thinking of John Wayne Gacy and the relationship he had with his father. Is some of that triggered by the environment at home?
It's, you know, it's such a great question, John. And there's the old nature versus nurture debate. You know, are they born that way, nature, or nurture? Are they socialized into it? In the case of a psychopath, if they are a true psychopath, that is a genetic birth condition. Their brain simply functions differently, responds to stimuli and the environment differently. They can't feel. They just cannot feel a normal range of emotions. But there are sociopaths, sociological socialization, and there what happens is they have a normal brain, but oftentimes through childhood trauma, abuse, neglect, torture, torment, they become predators through conditioning. And a great example there would be Ed Kemper, who was tortured by his mother, or Eileen Wuornos, if you remember the movie Monster, Charlize Theron played that, won an Academy Award. She was abused throughout her early life to such an extent that she retaliated against men. So it's a combination. You know, it could be, there's both nature and nurture.
Your audience is comprised of mostly women, you told me. What percentage of the audience is typically women?
Believe it or not, it's 80 to 90% women.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. And then when people ask questions, what do they ask in a minute? I know one question I have in my mind is, if I'm confronted by one of these people, what defense mechanisms do I have? Is there anything I can say or do that saves me? Go to City Winery if you want to see our guest, Scott Bahn, discuss why we love serial killers. CityWinery.com is the website. You can click through and get tickets for the 6 p.m. show. The doors open at 6. I guess you start at 7:30, right?
7:30.
Yeah, right. What do people ask you when they are at the show?
That's a great question. And as we mentioned earlier, 80 to 90% of my audience is women. So they are frequently asking me the question, how do I avoid getting involved with the next Ted Bundy or Long Island serial killer? And I think that, generally speaking, this is one of the appeals of true crime. I mean, you know how popular the true crime genre is now. It's incredible. It's on, you know, every major network has their shows and podcasts.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing when people come to my show. They're looking for information. They're looking for tools and how to protect themselves. And so one of the questions is, how do I know? How do I know if I'm being approached by a psychopath or a sociopath who might ultimately be a serial killer? And the answer to that question is, it really depends upon whether they are a psychopath or a sociopath. If they are a sociopath, they're actually easier to identify, because sociopaths tend to have emotional mood swings and bouts of rage because they can feel emotions. They're born with a brain that enables them to have an empathetic connection, but it's almost like, I used the analogy of the hairdryer before. With a sociopath, it's like the cord is faulty. It works sometimes and not others. And as a result, they can be very unpredictable. So if you have someone who just seems, you know, unstable, and these unusual mood swings, that could be a tell for a sociopath. Psychopath, unfortunately, is a little more difficult to detect.
Complete disconnect.
Complete disconnect. They're like the shark who's just beneath the surface of the water, just coming along.
Okay,
straight
so
at you.
It sounds like you're saying then there is no saving yourself, say, with your conversation with the psychopath. But the sociopath, could you negotiate your way out of harm's way?
I would say just be a ninja and avoid them. You know, spidey sense, you know, Spider-Man, if your tingles and you feel that something is off, something strange, just get out of the way.
I want you to say, but you need to talk to him about his mother. I'm not kidding. I mean, I wonder what verbal tools I could have in my chest.
With these individuals, they are so goal-oriented, so narcissistic, so self-absorbed.
That so describes Gacy, by the way.
Keep going. Absolutely. Yeah, and it describes 90% of them, you know. But just getting back to the psychopath again, there are some tells, there are some indications for a psychopath, because remember, they can't actually feel the emotion, but they become good at mimicking emotion. They understand how to respond, but there's often a delay. So if something seems something's off. Like if they're just not responding to laughter the way you might expect or something sad, there's that could be an indication.
Why We Love Serial Killers is also a book, The Curious Appeal of the World's Most Savage Murderers. Why We Love Serial Killers, the title of the book, and the presentation at City Winery Thursday night, citywinery.com on Randolph Street, west side of Chicago. Dr. Scott Bond, the criminologist, will be there. Whew. Okay. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you.